Welcome to the High Rise Podcast, presented by Headset, the leading data and analytics company for the cannabis industry.
So, Cy, what is it that you think I have in common with Diplo?
If I had to guess, it very well may be a love of cannabis.
Well, you'd be right about that, but we're also both DJs.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't go right to that. Maybe it's because he was just in the news talking about introducing this new beverage, Leisure Town. And I know we do spend a lot of time talking about beverage, and here we are again talking about beverage. But I think this is pretty notable, and I think it's worth a conversation around, you know, what does this mean to see kind of a celebrity-backed brand? And it's not just Diplo. It's also Rob Dyrdek, the skater, and now I guess business mogul. He's got some sort of broad agency where they're doing a lot of product type design like this, not in cannabis specifically, but, you know, in all sorts of categories. But they're coming in together with this Leisure Town product that's going to be introduced in the California market. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, you know, what does this mean? You know, it's another celebrity brand, and we have a number of them and it's growing. But ultimately, is this helpful? Are they going to find success? Are they going to grow the industry? That's what I want to chat about.
Yeah. And I think you just pointed out two great things is that, you know, Diplo's a musician. Music pairs very well with cannabis. And Rob is a skater. And skate culture is also something that pairs. I mean, it's all about creativity, about activity. And it dovetails to what we talk about a lot, which is that cannabis doesn't live in a silo. And it doesn't mean that you're just sitting on your couch. It's a very experiential product. And so I think there's the celebrity piece to it, but it's also they represent a certain lifestyle quality and an ambitious one, too. So I think it's a pretty exciting overlap. And I agree with you. We do talk about this a lot, but it is because it is a burgeoning category and interesting to watch. And one of the things you called out as we were prepping is that they're doing this via Herbal, which is one of the largest distributors in California. Great people at Herbal, and they do have experience coming from Southern Wine and Spirits. And one of the biggest challenges I've seen in investigating the beverage category from an investment standpoint is the distribution. Because beverage, if you're just thinking about beverage in the form factor of it's in a can or a bottle, volume of liquid is heavy. And navigating the challenges around literally moving the mass of liquid around the state of California, which is a massive state, is a logistical challenge. And so it is interesting to look at folks who do have that experience of distributing beverage in prior industries. Further to that, I think, you know, having the connections, look, California does not have nearly enough retail doors or outlets, but the ones that exist are very coveted shelf space. So being able to work with one of the established distributors to get the product on the shelves and to make sure that it's being merchandised correctly and presented correctly and stored correctly, actually, are all logistical challenges that we've seen in the distribution of beverage. So I think it was pretty a smart move for them to hook up with an established group like Herbal to get this fired up.
Yeah. All those things are so true. I mean, it's one thing to design a drink, obviously production of the drink, but distributing the drink's a whole nother monster and getting it into those stores and building those relationships. So it does seem like we're getting into this more mature supply chain in the industry. You know, it's getting there. I'm sure it's got, you know, a fair amount of room to grow yet, but it used to be, you know, you're a dispensary and you'd produce and sell your own products, which is generally flower, or maybe some pre-rolls, you know, like 10 years ago, that's all it was. And then you'd started getting branded products and then you had to distribute and they would self-distribute, you know, they would have relationships with independent retailers. And now you can work with a distributor in markets like California to be able to get access. California's a big state, and yeah, beverage is probably a logistical nightmare, you know, to just move that stuff around. So it is pretty cool that, you know, people can do this. I know that there are organizations that are producing like white labeled beverage that have the expertise on infusion and creating this stuff. So then you kind of think, well, what is this? What is a brand, you know, and what is, I mean, it's like an age old question, right? But, you know, it's obviously, you know, packaging, positioning, you know, the look and feel. And so when you see the brand Leisure Town and some of their, it's a very California vibe, right? It makes a lot of sense. You know, it's being introduced in California, and you're right. It's got the music angle. It's got the skate angle, you know, both very California things. You know, obviously those things are everywhere, but well associated with California. And so is this what we're going to see more and more, you know, from things like obviously beverage is a big one, but things like edibles, I don't think you'd see it as much in flower. I think when you do, it's probably going to be more like Seth Rogen's houseplant model where, you know, it's really passionate about, you know, specific strains or the grow process and probably the same amount of attention that these guys are putting into, you know, what makes a good beverage. So kind of a cool new dynamic just to see. And this whole category, you know, is being dubbed session seltzers. And I know like they're session beers and this idea of like you can have an IPA that historically, you know, have a high alcohol content in a beer, but they'll make session IPAs, which, you know, have much lower alcohol content and you still get some of that flavor of an IPA, but you can have a few of them, right? So at a party, barbecue or whatever, instead of just that one. And so this category, you know, it's a aspirational category, right? And I want to talk about like beverage data and like what we see at Headset, but I think it is an aspirational category because it's beverage in general, right? In any type, I think is aspirational because we're looking at, you know, 1.5% of the California market goes to beverage. And, you know, California year to date, and we're pulling some numbers before this, is $2.2 billion in sales. That's total sales, right? And of that, $32 million is going to beverage. So, you know, you're looking at about 1.3%. It's a very small amount, right? But there are some, you know, brands in there that are doing session seltzers, brands that we've talked about a lot, brands like Can, who's also now, you know, in other markets like Canada. You have Lagunitas, which is a, you know, well-known beer company, well-known doing session IPAs and now doing hi-fi sessions, which is also like a newer product for them that are lower dose, you know, Wonder and now Leisure Town, you know, and I'm sure I'm missing some other brands. But what's interesting, you know, it's a small category, but I think it's important. I think that these brands are accessible. And I think that while we know the core consumer of cannabis is, you know, looking for generalizing, right, like high potency product, low price, you know, the flower sales still taking a majority of the dollars that get spent in cannabis and obviously not going to beverage. But I think the only way we grow this industry is to bring in those people that might not be flower consumers, that might not want to get a vapor pen and instead can see something like a beverage and, you know, maybe can see something in that brand or in that artist who's bringing the brand and gets them in the door, right? And gets them in the door and then they can try that product and then maybe, you know, this category grows. So it's kind of aspirational in that sense, right? It's not going to, I think tomorrow this brand is not going to, you know, take over the world or anything, but I think it, you know, may do well in this small category and that small category may grow over time as it becomes more normalized.
I think you're right about that. And, you know, the way I've always thought about the product categories that exist in cannabis is that the avid consumer is well cared for. They have the high potency products available to them and they come in a range of form and fashion, as we've talked about. But for people like me, like I'm a pretty consistent consumer of cannabis and my tolerance never seems to budge. So 2.5 milligrams is kind of where I live in my space of consumption, be it if it's a gummy or if it's a mint or if it's a beverage. And I think that I'm trying to re-engage some of my friends from the category who had participated when it was illicit and they didn't know what it was and often had, maybe it was too potent for them or whatever it was. And many of these are female friends, but they're very curious. You know, we hear the kind of curious phrase a lot, but I think these are the ways we can bring people back into the space. And beverage, as we've talked about, is socialized and is accessible to a lot of folks to adopt into their life more readily than potentially, you know, hitting a vape, maybe, if, especially if they have kids around and they have certain feelings about that. You know, we want to make it approachable. And I do think that beverage is one of those categories that offers it up. You know, one thing I've been looking at as an interesting thing that we should dive in on a little bit maybe is that the pricing pressure on gummies in California, I've been seeing it. And I remember we talked about it with Nancy from Wana. And I know there's more competition on the gummy side, but I also think about my own behavior, which is that since I've started, I really do like the Lagunitas sessions and I also like the Wonder. And I've noticed that I'm not moving through my gummies very quickly because I've replaced my consumption with a beverage. And so I do think I'm kind of straight in the crosshairs of this. And of course, to your point earlier, you know, we're talking about these kind of fun lifestyle beverages that are being introduced to the market. Like we talked about Sam Adams with their tea a couple of weeks ago. This week, we're talking about the Diplo because these are kind of some new things that are coming to market. But it doesn't mean that this is where the beverage category ends. If you think about beverage beyond cannabis, there's now all these adaptogenic and functional beverages. Like I'm trying out this mud water product in lieu of drinking an entire pot of coffee every single day. And these are ways that I'm trying to just think about my life more holistically about the things I consume. And I think cannabis beverage, we're right at the tip of the spear. We've actually gone well past the tip of the spear because as you and I both know, there was the arc of where it started with like the Dixie elixirs and the high potency, pretty sugary products. And it's evolved to these products that are more analogous to other products that we drink outside of the cannabis beverage category. But it's an interesting thing. You know what I was just remembering? Do you remember? I'm not going to say the name of the company, but do you remember it was a Washington company where the bottles were exploding?
Oh, yeah. I know the company. I won't say the name either, but it was the first beverage in the Washington legal market. Yeah. And they were figuring it out. And
they were figuring it out.
Right. So not so simple. Yeah. Bottles exploding everywhere.
And what I remember too is like, this is so classic cannabis. The state was like, you have to destroy the product. And they were like, but they're exploding. So they were like throwing them into dumpsters and letting them explode in the dumpsters. And then they were like, quote unquote, damaging them out into the system just to have track and trace. It was so just so cannabis. But I mean, we've come a long way, baby. Like now we've got leisure town. So I don't know. What do you think about all this, Si? What about Canada versus US?
So when we talk about the beverage category and headset, we divide it into segments as well. And this would be, you know, like sparkling segment. There's like teas and then there's like drops and mixes. And in the US, drops and mixes do really well. It's almost a third of sales go to drops and mixes. And that's like the Select Squeeze. I think we've talked about that brand, or obviously we've talked about Select, but they have like a squeeze, you know, you add it to your drinks. So that type of product actually is about a third of the market, which is huge. And it's very different in Canada. In Canada, it's mostly like sparkling, mostly the iced tea, lemonade, more like ready to drink style. And so I think, you know, it's partly the product availability in the market. But also I think like in Canada, when you don't have the federal overhang where it's federally legal, like I was in Toronto and the LCBO is where you can buy, you know, beer, wine, and spirits in Toronto or in Ontario. It's the only place to buy spirits, right? Because the government runs it there. And in the same building is a cannabis retailer, Superette. This particular building has just like a fantastic location. So you get people walking in that are going to buy, you know, an alcoholic beverage, and then they can go buy cannabis beverage. And that's an easy translation. And you're talking about people that don't have to go out of their way, right? Don't have to go out into like the industrial district of their town or over by the airport in the middle of nowhere to go to a store, right? Which is most of the experience, unfortunately, in the U.S., in Canada, I mean, it's right there, right, for a lot of places. So I think that has an impact too on growing the category. But I do believe like having products like this coming out don't hurt, right? And I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, kind of will discount it, right? It's like, oh, it's a small part of the market and it's not going to be big. And it's all, you know, investors just trying to, you know, invest in products that they think people want, but not what people really want. But certainly, like to your point, you enjoy drinks like that. I'll have a drink like that all the time. So there are people buying it, but it pales in comparison to like the core consumer. But again, I really want to see this broaden. You know, I want to be able to talk to my neighbors that aren't the core consumer that's going to buy a pack of pre-rolls or, you know, eighth of flower, but could just, you know, brought home a six pack of session seltzers because, you know, it's a low tolerance, easy drinker thing to do. And it has a parallel to something that they're used to, which is like session alcohol. So, you know, I think that maybe I'm aspirational, but I do want to see this industry mature and expand beyond the consumer that's always been there. And that's the thing with cannabis. It's like a market for a product that's always had demand, you know, versus like if we were, I don't know, trying to create a new product and build demand, you know, people always have wanted cannabis. But I think that there is an opportunity to create demand for new formats. And I think having, you know, announcements like this and seeing brands like this don't hurt, right? It doesn't hurt. So we'll see how it does. But, you know, I'm pretty excited and, you know, I would love to try it.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about how like Steve Jobs used to say, you can't ask consumers to be the ones to innovate products. You have to kind of lead them. And I mean, if it wasn't for people like him, we wouldn't have the iPhone, which today I could go both ways on that, seeing as I can't shake that thing, but you know what I'm saying. And I think it's one of those things, this category is going to be one where people are going to have to hold space and kind of help to build the bridge to the consumers to welcome them into the category. And I also think that, yeah, the folks who love the high potency products, maybe this just becomes another companion piece to their whole consumer experience. I know I've talked about this on the pod before, but I really do. When I go to music performances, I actually much prefer cannabis to drinking alcohol for a few reasons. I mean, one, if it's a really amazing show, like if it's a great DJ, I get really hot, and hydrating is not what happens when you drink alcohol. But if you consume a cannabis product, maybe it's a vape, maybe it's because they won't be selling these in venues, let's get honest, yet. Although at Outside Lands, you would be able to procure this, which would be pretty cool at the Grasslands.
It would be cool.
Venue. But anyway, all this goes by way of saying, I think you're right. We have to kind of bring the consumer to this space, but I think it'll be good work worth doing.
You know, this is one of many, right? This isn't the session seltzers aren't going to be the only thing that do it. I think that there's plenty of things that can do that, but just more that do the better. So looking forward to Guy Fieri would say taking a trip down to Leisure Town.
Thanks for listening to the High Rise Podcast presented by Headset. For more information on Headset, visit headset.io.